Blog Talk Radio.
And you're in the G-Zone with Giovanni Gelati. Gio, what's going on today?
Thank you very much, Big Daddy. Well, today we have Nancy Kate Grace as our guest. Tomorrow, George Taylor has a podcast about when he went to the Here Now conference, that'll be 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The rest of July, we have Christy Lynn. She's coming back. Becky White, Martha Pope, Gers, Heidi McFarlane will make her first stop here. Patty J. Smith, J.T. Patton's coming back. We have Thirsty Thursday on July 9th and July 23rd. And finishing out the month, we have Mark Rubenstein and Michelle Anthony. So we have a pretty good July lined up here. And for anybody who's listening, that is Canadian Happy Canada Day. And for those of you who are taking off for July 4th, I hope everybody has an excellent July 4th weekend. Let's bring our guest into the show. Nancy K. Grace with the Grace Impact. How are you doing today, Nancy?
Hello. I'm doing fine. I'm doing just fine.
Welcome to the show. What can you tell
Thank you.
About the Grace Impact? What is this about now? Just looking at the title, is this a meteor hurtling towards Earth? Something like
yeah.
that? No, this is not
well,
a suspense
not really
action. No, nothing blown up, nothing like that?
No, nothing like that. So,
okay.
Oh, man, sorry about that. But, actually, the Grace Impact is a devotional about God's grace. And it is 30 different devotionals, 30 different small chapters of devotionals that helps to understand and explore God's grace. And through that, I talk about different scriptures, about how God reveals himself to us through his grace, and that is the grace impact to us, how we accept that impact of God's grace and then live it out. So it's the impact of God's grace to us, and then we interact and accept it and then through us and then to other people. So in a way, it's something coming from outside and impacting us. So, yeah.
How did you, anyone who comes on that discusses devotionals, I always ask them, how is it you picked your passages? Was it something that you just knew, or did you, was there a rhyme or a reason to it?
Yes, there is a rhyme or reason. I have been a speaker and author for a number of years, and I send out a monthly email devotional newsletter, and it's called Grace Notes. And I write about how I see God's grace in everyday life and just to send out a word of encouragement to people. And I thought maybe eventually I would have enough of these Grace Notes devotionals to compile into a book. And so I thought eventually after sending it out since 2006 and then after 6 or 7 years of doing this was back in 2012 when I wrote the proposal for the book, and I thought, okay, I have enough that I could do a book. I didn't want to do 365. That was too much for me to bite off, but then I thought I could do 30 for a month. So I went through my archive of the devotions that I'd written and chose 30 of those so that and then compiled them. And I thought, well, I don't want them to be just a lot of random, devotions here. You know, I needed a theme to tie them together. And after looking at that and looking at my blog post that I'd had about God's grace, I saw that one post that had a lot of comments about it was off of a verse of 2 Corinthians 9:8, which says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And when I saw that, I thought that would be the verse that could tie it all together because it's about God's grace. God is able. He makes himself known to us to reveal grace to us, to make that grace abound to us. And so we accept it, and then I have the first section of the book is God is Able, and it's looking at how God reveals himself to us through his character, how he is faithful, how he is love, how he shows his redeeming, wanting to save us. And so he sent the wonder of Jesus at Christmas, and then the redeeming power through Easter. And then the next section is about how, when we accept it, we are able to interact with God's grace in all things at all times, the good times and the bad times and the hard times. And I share stories in each devotional, personal stories, about how the Lord helped me when I had a cancer diagnosis, how the Lord helped me and was my strength during the time when my mother died and I was at her bedside. And then 2 weeks later, I was at the funeral of my mother-in-law, and it was a very intense time, but God's grace sustained me during that time. So whatever situation anybody is in, they can know that God's grace is with them. And then it's not just for us to keep, but that we can abound in every good work, so that we will be that channel of God's grace, sharing God's grace with the world. So the main theme scripture is 2 Corinthians 9:8, and then each individual chapter or devotional of the 30 has a separate scripture related to that. And each one ties back to how God's grace is present with us in our lives.
How long would you say, word-wise, is each one of your devotionals?
They're between 800 and maybe 1,100 words.
Really? That's, do you think that's kind of long, or is that just right for you?
Well, they're more like short essays. They're not like a short devotional of two or three paragraphs. They're more a devotional that it tells a story. There's a scripture, and at the end of each devotional, there are additional scriptures to look up. There are questions for meditation that people can, you know, continue to think about how they see God's grace, and I call that section deepening the grace impact. And then I can also have a prayer at the end. Book, it's more than a devotional. It can be used as a Bible study on God's grace, and it's, you know, just to kind of go slowly through it and read a little bit as a person can. So it's not like a short devotional each day, but it has some things to consider, and if a person has time, they can go deeper.
Nice. Do you want to read one for us?
Okay, sure. I would like to do that.
No hesitation there. You just decided to jump right in.
Oh, yeah, and I just so happen to have a copy of it on my desk.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. In the introduction of the book, I talk about how John Newton came in contact with God's grace. And he is the one that wrote the words, the lyrics to Amazing Grace. And so God's grace has been around for a long time, and we sing about it a lot. I'll start to read from day one. And each one is like day one, day two, day three, and this is on Grace Draws Us to God's Holiness. The scripture is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Pitch black engulfed us. Nervousness settled over me. Unable to see my hand directly in front of my nose, I gripped my young daughter's arm, assuring her of my presence. Our family participated in a cave tour while on vacation in the Black Hills of South Dakota. A college-age guide led us through a narrow passage to the bottom of a large cavern. Her flashlight and a few dim light fixtures lit our way. Once in the lowest opening, our guide explained the geologic formation. She then clicked the flashlight off and flipped the light switch. A collective gasp echoed through the room. Anxious, we huddled in the absolute darkness as she explained how our eyes would adjust in a few moments. However, when a thoughtless tourist in the group flashed his camera, it blinded all of us. My eyes ached from the intense light. I squinted, seeing nothing except light spots. That experience illustrates our reaction when we encounter light in the midst of blackness. When we begin to understand God's holiness, we shield our eyes spiritually from the brightness. Such holiness is so pure, it is blinding in the darkness around us. God is described as the one who alone is immortal and lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. 1 Timothy 6:16a. The word holy comes from the root word meaning to separate. God is separated from or exalted above all things. His qualities of purity and holiness set him apart from everything he has created. His holiness is almost incomprehensible to our limited, inadequate mind. God is perfect and pure, deserving our reverence and adoration. When we learn more about God's nature as revealed in his word, we begin to recognize his holiness. The prophet Isaiah witnessed God's holiness in the midst of despair. He lived in the time of King Uzziah, who reigned 52 years as a godly and powerful king. His death was a national tragedy to the ancient world, causing fear and uncertainty for the future of the nation. It was at this point of discouragement that Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord described in Isaiah 6:1-5, which says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" So when faced with the astounding holiness of God, Isaiah saw his own ungodliness and unworthiness. He realized his despair and sin, but God did not leave him in his hopelessness. Isaiah 6:6-7 continues, "Then one seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" God initiated an act of grace by reaching out to Isaiah with forgiveness so that he could stand in God's holy presence. The impact of God's grace on Isaiah changed his life. He went from fearful and discouraged to bold and courageous as he responded with a willingness to serve the holy God of the universe. Likewise, we decide how we will respond to God's holiness. We all have sinned and are unworthy of being in God's presence. In spite of our unworthiness, God beckons us to consider his holiness, as Isaiah did, and be moved, by a crisis if need be, to see how much we need him. God does not remain unapproachable, but desires personal reconnection with each one of us. He initiates the relationship by extending grace. At the crossroad where God's grace and our lives intersect, we have a choice to turn away from God or to embrace him. That is where the grace impact begins for us. By accepting his grace, we receive total forgiveness, complete acceptance, and unconditional love from God. At this point, the Holy Spirit initiates transformation in the yielded heart. Pastor Charles Swindoll defines grace as, and I quote, "unmerited favor. Grace is what God does for mankind, which we do not deserve, which we cannot earn, and which we can never be able to repay. Awash in our sinfulness, helpless to change on our own, polluted to the core, and with no possibility of cleaning ourselves up, we cry out for grace. It is our only hope," end quote. Grace allows us, as imperfect sinners, to have a connection with God. Only by God's initiative of extending grace to us can we have such a relationship. The invitation of grace is further explained in Isaiah 57:15, which says, "For this is what the High and the Holy Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Here is a magnificent mystery. The holy, exalted God of the universe chooses to restore our relationship with him. He does not cast us away from his presence because of anything we have done or not done, excuse me, but desires to connect with us in spite of our undeserving condition. I first responded to God as a scrawny teenage girl struggling with low self-esteem. I felt distant from my family and from God. To me, the mirror reflected loneliness and emptiness. I believed I had little worth. Though I tried to be happy and carefree, inside I felt the sting of self-condemnation. Driven by perfectionism to excel, I also lived in the shadow of comparing myself to others. A web of tension kept me wrapped in insecurity, self-pity, and desiring acceptance. A turbulent home life created by lack of communication and an alcoholic father brought further distress. I found peace in music. Playing piano brought solace to my heart. One weekend, a visiting choir came to my church, and it changed my life forever. I first experienced the grace impact through hearing a verse in the Bible. In the midst of their song, the words of 2 Corinthians 5:17 were spoken as an antiphonal chant with a catchy rhythm. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here." Those words penetrated my heart and went straight to my heart. My soul stirred with the awareness of God's presence reaching out to me. When I found the passage in the Bible, the words jumped off the page. I received God's acceptance, forgiveness, and love, and I traded my sin-stained self-image for one that reflects the image of the loving God. The holy, exalted God of the universe extended grace to me, and I gratefully took hold of it. The holiness of God requires a decision from us. We can be fearful or turn away from him, as if turning away from a bright light exposing us in our darkness, or we can draw closer to him through his grace. God's holiness leads us to look inward to see where we sin or fall short of God's standard. We cannot reach God by ourselves. God made a way to span the chasm created by sin that separates us from him. He sent his son Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sin through the sacrifice of his life on the cross. Through his resurrection, Jesus became the bridge that connects us to God. By acknowledging our position of sin and imperfection, we can receive God's forgiveness through his grace, and then we see a glimpse of his holiness. We are transformed by his grace right where we are when we are in his presence. God's grace draws us to him, and we are redeemed from sin. We are empowered by the Lord to face the challenges of our lives with new strength and hope because of the grace impact. And then the questions from deepening the grace impact are these. What comes to mind when you think of the holiness of God? How have you been changed by God's grace? There are additional scriptures that are listed. Exodus 15:11, 1 Samuel 2:2, and Isaiah 57:15. And then there's a prayer at the end which says, "Lord God, I praise you for being holy and pure. I praise you that your holiness does not remain far off, but it reaches me in my everyday life. I thank you for drawing me to your holiness by your grace, for creating a crossroad of grace in my life. Thank you for the impact of your grace that reaches to me, and help me by your grace to live for you. Amen." So that is the first day. It's a little bit longer, but it's setting the stage for the whole book.
Yeah, where can folks find you on social media?
On social media?
Yes. You have a nice website.
Okay. I have a website. It is NancyKGrace.com, and it's my full name spelled out, N-A-N-C-Y-K-A-Y Grace, G-R-A-C-E.com.
I'm on Facebook at Nancy K. Grace /GraceNotes, and that is where my author page is at. And every day I post things, and I post verses and some scriptures and thoughts from my book, The Grace Impact, and also from other Christian authors. I want to be a place of inspiration in this world when we have a lot of questions and bad news and, you know, just trying to balance all that's going on. I want to be a place of hope. And I'm also on Twitter at my full name, at Nancy K. Grace on Twitter. So between my website and Facebook and Twitter, that's where you can find me. And if people are interested in subscribing to Grace Notes, which is my email devotional that actually was the seed ideas for my devotional book, The Grace Impact. If you are interested in subscribing to Grace Notes, you can go to my website at nancykgrace.com, and there's a subscription box there, and you can opt in for it, and I will not spam you. So that's an option, too. And that's a devotional that also has a newsletter of kind of what's coming up, and I have some exciting things with my speaking and writing ministry that will be I'll share in that newsletter as they develop.
I was going to ask that. Do you have any? What do you have in the pipe? What are you going?
Well, my husband and I are working on a proposal for. We have submitted a proposal for a book on marriage, The Grace Impact for Couples, and so we are going to be working on that. I would also, I'm considering using the Grace Impact as an online Bible study, and that will be a few months away yet, but there again, if people are interested, they can follow me on social media or subscribe to Grace Notes to find out more. That would be a simple online Bible study. It wouldn't be a lot of heavy-duty study, but I know that a lot of people can't get out to go somewhere for a Bible study. And it would be like through email, through contact on the Facebook page, and I would create some videos about some of the devotionals that are in the Grace Impact. So that's the online Bible study that will be coming out in a couple of months.
Well, what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Well, I like to zip line. About a month ago, my husband and I went, just got away for a few days, and we found a zip line and went on that. And we've been on, you know, when we go somewhere throughout the country, we try to find a zip line and do it. That's kind of different. So we enjoy that. We enjoy hiking and walking together. I'm a musician. I play piano, and that's an important part of how I reach God and how I calm my spirit down when I'm anxious is that I sit down and I play piano. So being a musician is very important to me, and I like being outdoors, like I said, hiking, and I have some grandchildren, and I enjoy playing with them as much as possible. I enjoy family. I enjoy nature. I enjoy meeting with people one-on-one and sharing how God is working in their lives. I'm mentoring and meeting with several people right now, and I'm really enjoy doing that.
Nice. So what kind of feedback have you gotten on the book?
People have read it and have been very inspired. They are really learning more about God's grace. Some that have been Christians for a long time have said, gosh, I never thought about that aspect of God's grace. So I've been encouraged by that, and just knowing that people are drawing closer to God and finding hope. You know, really finding hope when they're in some difficult spots in life. Because like I said earlier, I do share some of that, of how, you know, we do have grace to hold on to, and we have hope in the difficult places of life.
Very nice. This is your first time on the show.
Yeah.
I really want to thank you for being on. Oh, what's a question either I haven't asked you today or maybe hoping I would, or maybe in your social media travels and meeting with folks, is there a question that you've always hoped someone would ask you? Do you have anything like that?
Well, I guess I could say where you could buy the book at.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. My publisher is Cross River Media, and it is available on her website, crossrivermedia.com. Click on the bookstore. It is available through there and also other online bookstores. And if people are interested in a signed copy, they can contact me, email me through my website, and I could work out details for that. It's my hope that through this book that people will understand the depths of God's grace, and that it's not cheap grace. It cost God a lot, but it enables us to live in His peace and to share that grace with others. So I just really hope that more people will be able to experience the impact of God's grace in their lives.
That's very nice. Very nice. I want to thank you for being on with me today. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you very much, Giovanni. I really appreciate the invitation, the opportunity, and I pray God's blessings and grace on you. Thank you.
Same to you. I hope everybody has a very nice day. I want to thank everybody on Twitter and Facebook, Pinterest, and StumbleUpon, Tumblr. Thanks a lot for sharing the show and helping others find a new author to them. Tomorrow we're on at 8:30 a.m. with George Taylor talking about the narration conference he went to a little bit ago. I hope everybody has a great night, and happy Canada Day to everybody that's Canadian. Have a good day, everybody. Nancy, thanks for being on the show. Bye-bye.
Thanks again. Bye.